doing.
Well, I wonder what happened last night. Got a feeling that something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
I don't really understand what's going on here.
Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
No!
And I know it's gonna be.
And 103.5 FM. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
In there, pushing all of our buttons and answering your phone calls at 651-995-8855 is the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha Sansevier.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time Drew does the intro, Every time Drew does the intro, I'm always happy that I took my my blood pressure medication.
Just the amount of stress that's on your face in those opening seconds.
What is he gonna say? Yeah, I thought about just wearing like black every day just to see what would happen.
You'd probably make some joke about you wearing black.
Yeah. Good one, Sam.
Way to go! End credits. Mic drop, show over. On the show today, Pete Hegseth will be joining us just after 8:30. We'll talk Bergdahl. We'll talk Bannon. Right before that, very excited to bring you the latest from the Hillary Clinton. What happened to her? She's gone overseas.
Right.
It's the European leg.
Yeah. What?
She's doing a European tour.
Yeah.
To talk about what happened.
Do people anywhere care, but especially outside of this country, care about Hillary Clinton?
She's got books to sell, man.
Yeah.
She's got books to sell.
And they care in a way, like, you know, if Carrot Top were around, you'd be like, hey, I want to talk to Carrot Top.
Yeah, Hillary's basically Carrot Top.
Yeah.
I'd be more interested in buying a What Happened to Carrot Top book.
True. I give you that. Yeah. I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
I know what happened to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. She doesn't.
We were all there. We all watch.
She's not aware. No. She's now equating, and we'll wait. This will be after 8 o'clock, but she's now equating what happened in the election to something she should not be equating it to.
No.
It's bad. It's really bad. We also have an update that we'll get to a little bit later on, thanks to a friend of the show, Bill. We talked yesterday, Drew, about the Rochester City Council and the $80,000 that the Civic Theater wanted, right?
Because they can't sell tickets?
Yeah. They got their money.
What?
Yeah, we'll get to that after 7 o'clock this morning. Yeah.
If I ask for handouts like that, will I just get it?
You got to go to Rochester, apparently.
No, but as I was talking about with Sam before the show started, and we'll talk about this right around 7:30, if the money that the wealthy are going to get with the estate tax is enough money to buy everybody in America a pony.
That is not... Oh, don't even get me started.
Yeah, so with all the money that's going to go
there
to the wealthy
with
the tax break, it's enough money to buy everybody in... And not just a pony, but like a pony and then the food and then the love and the care and the boarding, all of it. We could all get a pony if it wasn't for the Trump tax cuts to the wealthy and the rich.
No.
Sam's getting worked up in there.
Yeah.
Our resident pony expert.
Her face when I told her some of the details of what we're going to talk about just turned bright red. She's like, oh my gosh.
It's just so ridiculous.
This is not true. Also, have you heard the latest out of Hollywood
and
Harvey Weinscum? Apparently, I suppose this was to be expected, but when you look at the trajectory of the women coming out and claiming sexual abuse, and we talked about how it started. We talked about this on Friday's show with Brian Miller, but how it kind of started within the movie culture of movie reviewers and movie websites, and there were a handful of men who suddenly came under the spotlight from women coming out and claiming, hey, these individuals sexually harassed me. And it's sort of been dovetailing and spun up all the way up to Harvey Weinstein scum. Apparently now there is a list that is growing of A-listers who are having accusations that will be coming out against them soon. Like, Hollywood is... This whole thing is blowing up
now.
It's pretty scary.
If there is, and I have no reason to think that there isn't, but if there is a culture of sexual abuse and sexual harassment going on in Hollywood around or in these movie studios, that once you reach a certain stature, that certain behaviors are just accepted, then it should come out.
Jeffrey Katzenberg, the Hollywood executive, has worked closely with Steven Spielberg for decades, said, Harvey Weinscum, our words, not a lone actor. Hollywood executive notes the rampant sexual harassment is not limited to the entertainment industry. And it looks like there's that hashtag, was it Me Too?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Me Too, where women are coming out and claiming that these things have happened. It's going to rock Hollywood. And I agree with you. Good. I mean, if this has been going on like it looks like it's been going on, it needs to be exposed.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drain the swamp.
Yeah. That's, yes. In so many terms. Yes, absolutely. Drain the swamp.
Drain the Hollywood swamp. Expose them all. And, you know, the bummer is there's probably going to be some people that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
Or a fan of.
Yeah.
Some people that have very good reputations that are sort of universally liked that we're going to find out some awful things about. But you know what? They shouldn't be doing those awful things.
If it gets how a lot of people are saying in some of the news stories today, I mean, Hollywood's already got their movie woes when it comes to the streaming and Netflix and your Hulu and your Amazon making movies and the box office receipts getting lower. You know, this could have a huge, because people will vote with their dollars.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. People will stop going to movie, you know, if, hypothetically, your favorite actor, you know, comes out and you find out, and then you going to go spend money to see his movie? Probably not.
651-989-5855. Throughout the show and throughout the day, if you use the hashtag Tim Hortons TC&T, tell us where you work and why you want tasty Tim Hortons coffee, Timbits, and treats. We will pick one this week, and we're going to deliver Tim Hortons to you on Thursday. So use the hashtag Tim Hortons TC&T.
We're going to pick the winner later today after the show, and we will contact you via Twitter and get all your relevant information, and then we'll see you on Thursday.
Sam, how has the scouring been going?
It's been going great.
Have you compiled the top five stories that are floating your boat this morning?
I have. Well, I've successfully scoured.
We will get to those next right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Getting ready for Sam's top five, Justice and Drew. Hey, Drew. TikTok.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
Yeah, so have you heard of this, Sam?
I have no idea.
So Hannity's been teasing this countdown
bombshell
thing that's supposed to happen today. Now, do we know if Julian Assange is attached to it, or if people just attach Julian? Oh, okay, I remember now. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks had apparently put out like some encrypted tweet or something.
Okay.
And so then Sean Hannity has been teasing, like, today is going to be a bad day for Hillary Clinton and the Democrats.
She already lost.
Can we just stop giving her attention? Just let her disappear.
Maybe that's why she's overseas. So
She already lost.
If you look up Hannity.
Can we stop paying attention to her?
TikTok. On Twitter, he's been teasing that it's going to be a bad day and something about Russians. And so I hope for his sake it's not like a Geraldo Rivera, you know, Al Capone's vaults kind of thing. Because he really has been hyping this quite a bit.
I'm looking at his timeline right now. And 11 hours ago, he TikTok tomorrow. Boom!
Maybe he's just quoting a Kesha song. I think she has a song that goes that way.
She does. It's in my iTunes.
Not surprised.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I hope it's something interesting and good. I, you know, he's been
He's been teasing it a lot for, yeah, you know, for his sake.
I'm not seeing any other tweets from him that would lend any sort of context to it.
Now, I know we don't have Fox News up in studio, but do they have a countdown clock going? Do they have a TikTok countdown clock for Hannity today?
I don't think so. TikTok tomorrow, boom. That's a very Trumpy tweet of him.
It's already, it's a very tough radio thing and to do when you do something like that. Like, you gotta... If you're going to do something like that, you better deliver, man. You better deliver. I'm trying to think of what could possibly, like, the only thing, like, in my mind to go to, what could it be that would be huge? Like, if there was actual tangible evidence of Hillary-Russian collusion, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be so good.
That was like an email-to-email between Putin and Hillary talking about how he was going to hack machines to try to help her win.
You'd think that if it was big enough, would Sean Hannity really be the guy to break it?
Yeah, wouldn't, like, Fox be doing, wouldn't Fox be doing TikToking?
Yeah, I think that they would just break it as soon as they had it, wouldn't they? I mean,
yeah. I don't know. So I'm assuming on his show today.
Well, probably his TV show.
You think I'll do it on the TV show?
That would be my guess.
Oh.
You think he'll Rachel Maddow it?
Either TV show or last segment of today's radio show is my guess. So TikTok will have just in the background like a 24 countdown clock going. Chink-conk. Ching-conk.
Is that your clock?
That's my 24. That's my 24 Jack Bauer clock. Ching-conk. Yeah, you got it. See? Ching-conk. Ching-conk. That's what it sounds like.
Terrible.
That's what it sounds like, though.
You know, we have a whole library of, like, sound.
I don't know how any of this stuff works. I know how this works right here. That's it. I know how this works, and I know how to print stuff and highlight.
And make mouth noises.
Yeah, I know. I don't push buttons in here. I leave that up to you guys.
Sam has been in there scouring the internet, compiling the top five stories that are floating her boat this morning. Let's get right to Sam's top five for a Tuesday.
Number one.
North Korea is warning that nuclear war could break out at any moment.
Okay, cool.
When you're crazy like Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Maybe that's what the countdown is.
Maybe that's what he meant by boom. That's what,
yeah. Suddenly, TikTok boom sounds a lot more ominous.
But if you're Kim Jong-un and you can just flip the switch, yeah, he's right. It could break out at any moment. If I just decide to press this button, it could break out. So, you know, that's a legitimate statement.
From Bloomberg, North Korea warned that a nuclear war may break out at any moment as the U.S. and South Korea began one of the largest joint naval drills off both the east and west coasts of the peninsula. Kim In-rung, North Korea's deputy ambassador to the United Nations, said on Monday, yesterday, that his nation had become a full-fledged nuclear power, which possesses the delivery means of various ranges, and warned that the entire U.S. mainland is within our firing range. He also called North Korea a responsible nuclear state.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's no.
You can't like say all of those things,
right?
And then follow it up. But we're really responsible. Yeah. So we're
totally responsible with these nuclear weapons.
If you come to our nuke sites, you'll see all the handle with care signs.
This deputy ambassador to the United Nations said as long as one does not take part in the U.S. military actions against North Korea, we have no intention to use or threaten to use nuclear weapons against any other country. The comments are similar to other warnings North Korea has made over the past few months as tensions have increased with President Donald Trump's administration. Kim Jong-un's regime has repeatedly said that it needs the capability to strike the U.S. with a nuclear weapon in order to deter an American attack.
No, you don't.
That's not.
No, you don't. I mean,
no.
We haven't attacked you yet.
And just, like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, just chill out and stop threatening us.
Yeah,
and that'll mitigate the risk of an attack.
There was some chatter about some extra military might heading into the region, but there's also these Navy drills that are taking place. And he does this, or North Korea does this, I should say, every time we have these joint operations. Look, things are still tense, and it doesn't help when President Trump was making the comment that he made a couple weeks ago about, you know, the possibility of action over there. But he's been quiet. Kim Jong-un has been quiet for a while. North Korea has been quiet for a while. So it's not all that surprising to see them kind of pop up and be like, hey, everybody, remember, we're still a threat and stuff. And, you know, but hey, we're totally responsible.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Las Vegas guard Jesus Campos vanished after visiting an urgent care clinic.
This is a weird story.
It's really, really bizarre. From Fox News, the Mandalay Bay security guard who disappeared last week moments before he was scheduled to break his silence in television interviews has not been seen since he went to a walk-in health clinic. David Hickey of the Security Police and Fire Professionals of America told reporters on Friday that he got a text the night before saying Jesus Campos was taken to a UMC quick care facility, though he did not specify where or whom the text came from. A spokesperson at the UMC Quick Care, which has 8 locations throughout the Las Vegas area, told Fox News on Monday that they had heard nothing about Campos visiting them. Hickey said he was meeting with MGM officials Thursday afternoon in the hours before Campos' scheduled television appearances, including one with Fox News. But when the meeting ended, Campos had fled. Hickey told reporters that for the past 4 days, he's been preparing. We had a meeting with MGM officials, and after that meeting was over, we talked about the interviews. We went to a private area, and when we came out, Mr. Campos was gone. Hickey said Campos had requested to go public and wanted to tell his story and move on from the October 1st shooting investigation. Police say that he was shot just before the crazed gunman killed 58 at a music festival on the Las Vegas Strip, though the sequence of events is still a little bit in dispute. Hickey said that before he vanished, Campos was looking forward to telling his side of the story. Hickey said on Friday, "Right now, I'm just concerned where my member is and what his condition is. It's highly unusual. I'm hoping everything is okay with him, and I'm sure MGM or the union will let media know when we hear something."
I hope it's just as simple as he got cold feet and maybe panicked. I mean, I'm sure he's in a traumatic state still, yeah. You know, mentally.
How can you not be?
After these events, I'm sure that he's dealing with a lot. And I think the best case scenario is that just the pressure of the situation and the pressure and the nervousness that would come with addressing the media and telling the story and your profile being raised to this level kind of got to him and he panicked.
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario. Otherwise, you know, this guy disappearing, all it does is fuel the conspiracy theorists.
Well, and I think that's the most logical explanation, is that he got cold feet and he left. I know that the sheriff, I was doing some reading up on it this morning because I hadn't really been paying attention to the whole thing and curious to see where the investigation into Steve Paddock had gone. I know the sheriff there in Las Vegas has taken a lot of heat as of late because the timelines have been changing so much.
Right.
And it looks as if the reason for that is most likely, again, looking at what the most rational explanation is, they came out early with a lot of different timelines, but unfortunately they were incorrect, which happens often in situations like this. And I think the other part of this, it's a byproduct of here you have a sheriff, and who knows, I don't know what the background is on Lombardo, but here you have a sheriff who's probably not used to dealing with an event like this, who's been tasked with having to talk to the public. Unfortunately, Drew, you made the to me the most relevant point, apart from this guy's safety, him vanishing is not helping at all with the conspiracy theories because they're still running rampant. I guess they're sending, and this is par for the course apparently, they're sending his brain to be examined. Paddock's brain to be examined. And
the security guard.
No, they don't know where he is. I'm sure they would like to pick his brain to, you know, details.
Not like literally.
Right. But they still don't have a motive with what had happened. And it seems as if...
Or if they do, they have not shared it.
They have not shared it yet, you know, with anybody. So with this individual going missing, it's just, people are saying, oh, he was taken because he was going to expose the truth.
That's what they all jump to. And those are the types of little things that conspiracy theorists latch onto. Any inconsistency from an early report that doesn't mesh up with a later report when perhaps the investigators got more information and learned new things and then revised, you know, the information that they're putting out to the public, that's generally what happens in these chaotic situations like this. You get more information, the timelines get revised, they get updated, they get more accurate the more you learn, but they take those inconsistencies, they latch onto them, and I'm just asking questions. You know, why did they say this, and then later they said that?
There's a really fascinating sidebar to this, and we won't get into all of it right now, but there's this one woman who's like this self-proclaimed detective, her last name's Lormer, and she's if you look up Stephen Paddock on Twitter, the first thing that pops up is her. She's been like perpetuating like almost all of this. I was following her soon after the event took place because
she's just a truth seeker, John.
She was sharing a lot of relevant information, but it's clear she's just, well, here's a thought. And people are just running with it. She's made herself famous over this whole thing.
She's just asking questions, John. Yeah, I know. There's nothing. Open your mind.
Yeah, Campos.
Be open to new information.
Campos apparently said pull it.
Seek the truth.
Number three.
There's fears of catastrophe as a runaway Chinese space station hurtles toward Earth.
As if the world isn't crazy enough.
We also have this to deal
nuclear
with.
Nuclear war threats from North Korea and now hurtling Chinese space stations.
From Fox News.
Not cool, China.
Come on, China. Keep track of your space stations.
Throw it.
She's like, oh, sorry,
get your space stations under control.
From Fox News. A Chinese space station will crash into Earth in a matter of months, and
great.
It could kill anyone who is standing beneath.
They really needed to add that second part of that sentence.
Yep.
Like, of course.
Apparently,
I'm gonna have to watch Space Cowboys over the weekend. That's the plot of the movie.
Is it?
It's a Russian satellite, but they're having the same issue. Turns out it was actually a military platform that had nuclear weapons on it, and only Clint Eastwood could save us.
Hopefully, I don't know if Clint Eastwood can save us now. The 8.5-ton heavenly...
Clint Eastwood could just shoot it out of the sky.
The 8.5-ton Heavenly Palace satellite is now out of control and is doomed to plunge into the atmosphere. A Harvard University astrophysicist said, I expect it will come down a few months from now, late 2017 or early 2018. He previously warned that there was no way of telling exactly where the space station is going to plunge to Earth. He said, even a couple of days before it re-enters, we probably won't know better than 6 or 7 hours, plus or minus, when it's going to come down.
Great.
The station will reduce significantly in size as the Earth's atmosphere burns it up. However, chunks of metal could still fall to Earth and injure or kill anyone standing the impact site.
Oh, they got to watch Gravity, too, because that happened in that.
It's so weird.
That's a really good movie.
A spokesperson for China's space agency said, based on our calculation and analysis, most parts of the space lab will burn up during falling. But a huge clump of metal could still rain down on unwitting victims. He added, there will be lumps of about 100 kilograms or so, still enough to give you a nasty wallop if it hit you.
A nasty wallop. Really? That's a nasty wallop?
I think they're downplaying that considerably.
They're like, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah, you know, you died because a hurtling chunk of space metal landed on you. Oh, that's a nasty wallop you got there.
When you, they had that.
I really got walloped.
It was either a meteor or a space debris that came down over Russia a couple years back, and they caught it on film, and it made buildings shake. I mean, that was only, like, it was like the size of a suitcase. Mm. I mean, the reality behind this is that most likely, just because of the abundance of water that is on the planet, it'll probably land in a body of water.
Most likely. Land in water, just based on percentages.
If it doesn't, it could be like super, super bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a 220-pound hurtling rock of metal.
It would be really bad. But
space
metal.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider, though, again, the amount of water on the planet and then the amount of open spaces, you know.
I mean, like, yes.
The odds of it landing in a...
on top of a metropolitan city is very low.
Yeah, the percentage of surface that is densely populated areas is very small.
Right.
So, but you're saying there's a chance.
Can they aim it over North Korea? Because then they got an excuse.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what you need Tommy Lee Jones and Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
To go there and just sort of direct it
right
over towards North Korea's nuclear sites.
Yeah, Tommy. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, North Korea.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Tommy Lee Jones died in that movie. Makes me sad.
Was that necessary?
No, it was sad.
Spoilers. That was not relevant to anything we were just saying.
Well, because he mentioned Tommy Lee Jones saving, and then it reminded me how sad that moment was when he shot himself to the moon.
I'm never going to watch that movie now.
You weren't going to watch it anyway.
I might have.
It's fake news.
Watch Cowboys and Aliens. That's more appropriate.
Number four.
Teddy Bridgewater has been cleared for practice, and the Vikings plan to bring him along slowly.
Good, good. Not a good surprise. Everybody sort of expected that yesterday was the first day that he could be moved off the physically unable to perform list and join the active roster and start practicing. So glad to see that his recovery is going well and that he's able to start practicing again.
Teddy Bridgewater, on Wednesday, this is stories from the Star Tribune, on Wednesday, more than 13 and a half months after he injured his left knee in the Vikings' final practice of the 2016 preseason, Teddy Bridgewater will make his return. Dr. Dan Cooper, who performed the surgery in September 2016 to repair torn ligaments in Bridgewater's left knee, cleared the quarterback to return to practice on Monday morning this week. And Coach Mike Zimmer said yesterday afternoon that Bridgewater will practice on Wednesday. The 25-year-old dislocated his left knee and tore multiple ligaments, including his anterior cruciate ligament, on a non-contact injury on August 30th, 2016. In the days following his injury, Bridgewater's future looked pretty bleak. On Wednesday, he'll reach an important milestone in his return.
I had that exact same injury back in 91.
You could have been an NFL player.
I know, I could. And back then, I played like Teddy Bridgewater, but because of that injury, it just ruined my chances of NFL glory.
Nobody believes you.
Okay, I did race bikes at the time. That's how I broke it. But yeah, it's a horrible. I mean, my knee hurts. It's hurting me today for crying out loud. It's a horrible injury.
Yeah, when this happened, I mean, there was a lot of speculation. A lot of people saying this, he may never play again.
Yeah,
his career may be over. So I'm really happy for him that he's able to gotten to this point. Whether or not he's ever going to be the quarterback that he was or the quarterback that he could have been, you know, remains to be seen. He may not ever get back to the point where he's, you know, at NFL quarterback, you know, playing condition. We still don't know, but he's got to get out there and start practicing. That's the only way you're going to find out.
Once Bridgewater is back in the practice field, the Vikings are going to have 3 weeks to determine whether to activate him from the physically unable to perform list. It's believed, though, that Bridgewater is on track to play this season, barring any setbacks. He has done extensive rehab work in the recent weeks and looked strong in some on-field work last week, flashing an overhauled drop back designed to help him generate more power off his back leg and reduce the stress on his surgically repaired left knee.
Boy, if you're Sam Bradford, how are you? How are you?
How are you feeling right now, man? He's got his own issues. That's another with the, you know, there's some speculation that, as Paul Allen told us yesterday, the speculation that his knee is in such bad shape that he might not play again.
And Aaron Rodgers is having surgery, right? That's what I read yesterday.
You guys are both looking at me like I keep up on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you were the resident expert.
Collarbone.
Yeah, collarbone.
Yeah, I know.
I thought
about
you had a Google alert set up for like collarbone.
Let me rephrase. I read a story yesterday that said Aaron Rodgers was having surgery and he wasn't going to play the rest of the season.
Looked at me to confirm it. I don't follow Aaron Rodgers' every move. I just know he broke his collarbone.
Never assume.
Number five.
A Minnesota man put a bullet hole in a passing plane.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
From the Pioneer Press, a Northwest Minnesota man has been charged with second-degree attempted murder for shooting an airplane flying over his property last week. Chad Lindell Olson, he's 51 years old, was charged Thursday in district court in Polk County for allegedly shooting a Cessna small aircraft with a high-powered rifle from his property on Highway 32 northeast of the Fertile Airfield on October 6th. Olson has a history of making threats and shooting at planes flying over his home.
Our own little North Korea.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there in Northwest Minnesota.
Yes. This sounds like the kind of guy that would love a joke like that.
Why is he shooting at planes?
He thinks they're involved in terrorism.
Yeah, Olson said he was using lethal force to defend himself because the airplanes were engaged in terrorism.
What?
All right, now look, I'm not...
He is. He's like Kim Jong-un up there in North Korea.
Is.
He's just a crazy person.
I'm not saying there's enough evidence yet. However, when we talk about, you know, see something, say something, and we talk about individuals who might have a problem and who are also armed... How is it this dude still has weapons?
Apparently this is... apparently has some kind of history with
this,
too.
Yes, people have seen him do it before.
Yeah, so...
Because one of my first questions when I read the story was, how did they figure out this guy? Because the pilot didn't realize that his plane had been shot.
He just
heard
the next day.
He heard a little twang, noise.
Bink.
And it wasn't until he landed and was, cleaning the plane?
Yeah. A bullet hole.
Yep.
Yeah, he was like, oh, look at that. There's a bullet hole.
Yeah, he was washing his plane the next day, and he found the bullet hole. That had not been there when he did a pre-flight check of the plane the day before. The bullet entered near cables and poles that could have caused structural failure if they were damaged. He estimated the damage to be $20,000. On October 9th, an investigator spoke with a man who said he was at Olson's property on October 2nd when he saw Olson shooting a This was 4 days before he actually shot the plane, when he saw Olson shooting a rifle as a plane flew overhead. The witness later told investigators he had seen Olson shoot at planes on 4 occasions earlier this year.
Say something.
And that Olson had told him about 3 other times he had shot at airplanes.
Get out of my sky!
Seriously.
So this guy is facing 1 count of second-degree attempted murder, 1 count of second-degree assault, and 2 counts of criminal damage to property. The attempted murder charge carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison, and the assault charge has a maximum of 7 years in prison.
Yeah, and he said he was using lethal force to defend himself because the airplanes were, quote, engaged in terrorism.
Nope. Pretty presumptive of him.
Nice job, Sam.
Thank you.
You're not that special, Olson.
No, seriously.
That dude needs to chill out.
All right, coming up.
Shoot it like pop cans, like a normal person.
We're going to talk a little Halloween. Anne Frank causes controversy.
Yeah, what a weird...
That's a weird one.
Yeah,
what a
weird little controversy to have popped up.
Universities are training kids on cultural appropriation, and we'll give you the 5 most triggering Halloween costumes of this year.
Yes.
Justice. From the Cremation Society.
They open at 9, John.
Oh, really? Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. We found some Zima.
Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk. Yeah, I moved my last bottle from the garage into the fridge.
And then from the fridge to your belly?
No, I haven't drank it yet. I was saving it for a special occasion. But then yesterday I was in the garage and I saw the empty 6-pack container. I was like, oh, and I got sad. So I tweeted it. I took a picture of the empty container and just put sadness. And then, thankfully, the friend of the show tweeted at me and said, hey. It's cheap.
Well,
yeah.
There's a reason.
Well, I
think laws of supply and demand.
Yeah. is it like a lower alcohol content?
No.
Okay.
No. I think the reason they looks like they have some cases left, which is shocking. I think the reason why they're selling it so cheap is because...
about to expire
the brew date, right? Yeah. So I'm gonna buy like 2 cases, and then I'm gonna have to drink them in like 30 days.
We're
not saying where, by the way.
Okay, that's fine. I think I went to this liquor store that you're talking about a couple months ago, and they didn't have it then.
Yeah, maybe they moved it from some other place where it wasn't selling. But yeah, on the label, it actually says like. This is like cheap nostalgia or something like this. Taste nostalgia. I know nostalgia's on the tag, so yeah, I'm gonna go there. 9. Okay, cool. All right, we'll have to get promo.
Here, hold on. I've got the picture right here.
Yeah, what does it say?
Yeah, it says a 6-pack of nostalgia.
6-pack of nostalgia. That's right.
I'm gonna get $3.99.
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna get a case of nostalgia.
Oh, don't lie. You're gonna buy all the cases. I'll be disappointed in you if you don't buy all the cases.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Really? I feel like you wouldn't be fully committed to your love.
Yeah, but that's a lot to drink before it expires next month.
Yeah, I'm sure that you'll happily take the challenge.
Oh, you know what? I'll add it to the to the beverages for all the parties I throw.
All the parties. The suggested price for a case is $43.96.
Right, yes, I'm aware of this.
But they're selling it for $10.99.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah, man. I might buy all the cases.
Wow, they want to move that quick.
It actually says 6-pack.
Maybe it ages like wine and we're not even aware.
Has anybody actually tried?
Out of the Associated Press, North Mankato Business pulls Anne Frank Halloween costume after criticism.
I don't understand this story at all.
Why don't you understand?
Why is there an Anne Frank costume?
Well, actually, I think I have an answer to that.
Okay.
The online retailer has pulled the costume from his website that depicted Holocaust victim Anne Frank. So screenshots of the costume for sale at HalloweenCostumes.com posted on social media showing a smiling girl wearing a World War II era clothing and beret. The costume was quickly criticized on Twitter. Carlos Galindo Elvira, who leads the Anti-Defense League out of state, said on Twitter the costume trivializes Frank's memory.
A little. A tiny bit.
Well, I've got words.
Little girl just smiling, you know.
I've got words about that, too. North Mankato, Minnesota-based fun.com runs the website. The spokesperson, Ross Walker Smith, tweeted Sunday the costume had been pulled from his website, understandably so. He explained that the company sells the costumes for activities other than Halloween. You got to make money throughout the year, like school projects and plays. He apologized for any offense caused by the costume. Oh, and then I like the fact the Associated Press put in here, Anne Frank is known for the diary she wrote while hiding from the Nazis during the war.
Wow. It's like,
thanks for letting us know.
Is she known for a specific outfit? Because I if you asked me what an Anne Frank costume would look like, I would not be able to tell you.
True, but when I saw the picture of the costume, I went, okay. I looked at it and went, okay, Anne Frank.
Yeah, it's just kind of like just a
generic,
typical,
yeah,
like
generic,
a little girl's outfit for that era.
A couple of things here. One, I have a hard time believing that anybody would have bought it in the first place for Halloween. But let's just say for the sake of argument, okay? But what if they did? What if there was, you know, in all likelihood, if somebody were to buy it, it would have either have been for a play, or what if there was a girl who admired what Anne Frank did, as many do and should, right? And was inspired to dress like her for Halloween.
Wanted to honor her.
I mean, I don't, when you see something
it is
like...
It's a little trivialized.
Yeah, that's... You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cute girl smiling, like, oh, look at me, I'm Anne Frank. Like, that wasn't anything Anne Frank's life was not like that.
I Googled Anne Frank Halloween costumes to kind of get an idea of what some of these look like. Some of them have other titles, too, like Child World War II Evacuee Girl Costume.
Yeah, she's smiling in that picture?
Yep.
Yeah, well, again, I don't think it trivializes it when you think that that's not supposed to be Anne Frank. It's supposed to be a girl in an Anne Frank costume who, based off the scenario that I just laid out, was honoring her memory. So she was happily doing so.
Maybe don't dress like somebody who's hiding from the Nazis.
Or maybe just don't complain about it to get yourself attention.
But I mean, like, in this day and age, did you really think that you could make a costume like that and have it not gin up some outrage?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't think people think about that. I think the reason why it would be there and why it would be included is because it's part of that particular website, and they sell stuff throughout the year. It just makes me laugh when people go and want to complain about it. I mean, we have a list of offensive costumes, potential ones that we'll share in just a moment, but you know, that one just seems like, you know, it was the right thing to pull it off the website. I get it to avoid the controversy, but
it's a bad idea.
To sell it?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay. Good luck with your Halloween store.
No, but again, they're selling it throughout the year for other things, potentially. So those costumes are there.
Give me an example. I would like to hear
A school play.
No, I'm asking them. I want to hear an example of anybody that's come in there and bought it for another thing.
Well, if that's the case, then
I would be willing to bet it has never happened.
Really?
Yes.
But do they have to call it an Anne Frank costume? Get like an outfit that looks like that era.
What is it? I got you. All right. I got you. I'm more annoyed at the guy that complained. He didn't need to complain. If nobody was going to buy it, no one was going to buy it. There was no need for that guy from the Anti-Defamation League to go and make a stink about it. You know, if anything, it was a good thing, once again, for the website and this company who ends up getting a lot of exposure because this dude went and complained about it. All right, so since there's so much controversy, we'll just jump right to triggering Halloween costumes. All right? If you go to...
Every October. There's a list of offensive Halloween costumes.
TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. If you go to the Justice and Drew page, we have the five most triggering Halloween costumes of 2017, courtesy of PJ Media. Okay, so these come off of a number of different websites. But number five on the list... is a hobo costume. Now, if you look at the photo, it's not just a hobo. It's almost a sexy hobo costume.
Yeah, well, there's a sexy everything.
Sexy everything, yeah. Right?
No matter what costume you think of, they've made a sexy version of it.
Insensitive and misogynistic. You wouldn't want to make fun of a homeless person on the street. Business Insider scolds. Homelessness is a serious issue. So you can't do the hobo costume.
I can't do like the fake beard sort of drawn on, you know, like the old like 40s.
Yeah, the stick when you're on the railroad tracks with the stick and the bandana, the red bandana that's got whatever your belongings
can't
are in
that.
It. No.
Okay. Even though that's a total, you don't see those people out on the street.
No,
that's not I'm not dressing up like a homeless person. I'm dressing up like a character from a movie or a cartoon
right.
back in the 40s.
No, can't depict that.
No, okay, can't do that.
Men's Arab chic costume. Okay?
Okay.
They say the costume draws on the false stereotypes of Middle Eastern culture. It's harmful to reinforce negative and misconceived notions about religion, region, or a group of people. Apparently, a tweet from Arab TV didn't have a problem with the costume in and of itself. Right. So, a lot of these things like this, this is stuff that's been there for decades. They've just upgraded them throughout the years.
Yeah.
If you really go down the rabbit hole of, like colleges are, and we'll get to this later on, but like colleges are, if you go down the rabbit hole of cultural appropriation, you might as well not wear anything Halloween.
No.
Because everything's going to be offensive to somebody.
Yep.
Native princess costume. Right?
Yeah, these have been out of vogue for a long time.
Yeah, but I think we all know better than to culturally appropriate from indigenous cultures. Walmart in Canada has pulled a bunch of those costumes from its stores and is revisiting its cultural sensitivity guidelines. Inflatable fat ballerina.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Did you see the photo of it? This exact, yeah. It's like your BB-8 one that you wore for the for our boss man Chad's. Birthday party, but it's a ballerina. It probably has one of those air compressors to keep it blowing up as well. Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Obviously,
it's pretty stupid.
Over the top.
Yes, you know, it's way over the top.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And then number one on the list was the wall. That's the best. Yeah, that's the best. It's just a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a wall, and you're wearing a wall, and you're walking around with the wall. You could just be a fan of Pink Floyd,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
Honoring the memory of the album.
How many kids have gone on to iTunes and seen the Pink Floyd The Wall and be like, oh, they must be Trump supporters.
They must be. It could be an homage to Game of Thrones as well.
True story right there. Yeah, good call. Good call. That's right.
There, I just saved that costume.
I'm the Game of Thrones wall. Not the southern border one.
651-989-5855. Coming up, Dayton signs agreement for reinsurance program. We'll talk about the Rochester City Council voting on the Civic Theater budget. They gave him all the money from the story we talked about yesterday. And how, if it wasn't for repealing the estate tax, the federal government could have bought everybody in America a pony.
Nope.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.5.